Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is November 24th, 1944. Brigadier General Haywood Hansel arrives in the theater of the Pacific Theater in the war against the Imperial Japanese Navy and Army. These are the last months of the Japanese Pacific War fought by the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Marine Corps, and the Army Air Force. General Hansel has a mission, which is to take a new weapon, a very expensive weapon called the B-29, and turn it into the destruction of the Japanese ability to make war. I welcome James Scott. James M. Scott is the author of the new book, Black Snow, Curtis LeMay, The Firebombing of Tokyo, and The Road to the Atomic Bomb. James, greetings to you, and congratulations telling the story of these months, which I'd read about beginning and end, but not in between, as to how the B-29, a very buggy aircraft in addition to being expensive, did not arrive as a success. The early days were a challenge to the Army Air Force, to the high command in Washington, and to the men who flew the B-29. So we needed to start with Haywood Hansel, a premier figure in the Air Force for his success in the European campaign by the Army Air Force, a great success, which is why he's given what is regarded, what he regards as the best command in the Army Air Force, the 20th Air Force. What is his mission? What are the challenges for Haywood Hansel? What do we need to know about him? Good evening to you, James.
John, thanks so much for having me on your program again. It's a real treat to be with you and your listeners. So Haywood Hansel is a fascinating figure in that not only is he a combat commander in both Europe and the Pacific, but he's also a air pioneer and strategic thinker during the interwar period, in which it's important to remember, you know, aviation is a pretty new addition to the battlefield by the time World War II rolls around. I mean, it sort of has its combat debut in the end of World War I. And that time between World War I and World War II is when a lot of thinkers start looking at how can we bring this new technology to bear in a modern war. And Hansel is one of the pioneers of that. And so he is a big believer in what's called high altitude daylight strategic bombing. And the idea behind that is that a modern economy is like a house of cards. And that if you use planes and you bomb strategically, you knock out oil refineries, for example, and bridges, you can then collapse this economy just like you would with a house of cards, and therefore avoid the trenches and the stalemates and whatnot that had, you know, haunted the nightmares of infantrymen after World War I. And so that's kind of Hansel's background. And so he comes from sort of this intellectual planning, academic background to bring this sort of strategy to bear against the Germans during the first part of World War II. And of course, there are a lot of challenges with that, because what works well in theory and in academic settings does not always work in combat. And so they realized, for example, that the German economy is far more resourceful than they had thought, that the Germans can pull in, you know, raw materials from occupied countries, that they can disperse industry and things like that. And so the air war that Hansel and others thought was going to be pretty quick and painless in Europe really devolves into a years-long slog. And the Americans are flying these high-altitude daylight precision raids. The British eventually abandon those and begin firebombing cities, Hamburg, and of course Dresden, which has become sort of this international symbol of airborne horror. And so Hansel, he goes from the European theater over to the Pacific theater in late 1944. And the idea there is that the hope is to try to avoid a years-long fight against the Japanese and also to avoid American troops having to storm the beaches and do battle inside cities like Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka. And so an extraordinary amount of pressure is placed on Hansel that to be able to bomb the Japanese out of the war before America has to have this incredibly bloody invasion.
Importantly, he has a personality that is striking, and it's you commented at length, James. He is an intellectual about war. And Hap Arnold, the commander of the U.S. Army Air Force, regards that as a worthy attribute. He is helping to invent bombers that we take it for granted here in the 21st century. But the original concept was fighter aircraft. And I believe Hansel trained on fighter aircraft. So he is part of that transformation from the 1930s into believing that the bomber was all powerful. And then the disappointment, James.
Exactly. And and Arnold is a really good person to sort of address too. For folks who may not know, Hap Arnold was the commander of the Army Air Forces. I mean, he is America's top airman. And he really embodies the evolution of aviation. And I'll tell you why, because he actually learned how to fly from none other than Orville and Wilbur Wright. I mean, as a young airman, I mean, the whole reason that early aviators wore those trademark goggles that you see in all the old images is because Hap Arnold got hit in the eye by a bug while landing one time. So he goes from learning how to fly with Orville and Wilbur Wright to commanding the largest global strike force during World War II. So he has seen aviation rise that entire time. And he's, as just as you noted, he's seen aviation evolve from these primitive wood and fabric biplanes to these muscular four-engine bombers that are capable of, bridging oceans and turning an entire nation into a battlefield. And along with that, he sees, and people like Hansel, his underlings, sort of see that aviation has an independent role to play. And it's not something that should be just brought in to help sort of facilitate troops landing on beaches or, help facilitate sea battles with the Navy, but that the air can be an independent fighting arm because they can then destroy an enemy nation's capability to wage war. And that becomes like one of the big missions here, is demonstrating that the power, that raw force of air power to break an enemy. And Hansel, of course, had worked closely with General Hap Arnold. He had been his chief of staff. So they were very friendly. Hansel was an intellectual. He was a planner. He was not a predator, so to speak. Not really as great as a combat commander, but he was a thinker. And Arnold liked that because Hansel sort of helped push the bounds of sort of what we could do, the strategies and things like that to employ these new weapons on the battlefield.
I want to mention the politics of this moment, James. Hap Arnold is Army Air Force. The Air
Correct.
Force is not a separate organization. He works within the bounds of what George Marshall permits. And the competition with the Army is not slight. He also has competition with the U.S. Navy, commanded by Ernest King back in Washington, and Chester Nimitz now moved to Guam, I believe, as Hansel arrives. This is forward basing. Nimitz had been in Hawaii for the bulk of the war, but we're closing in on the Japanese home islands now. So Guam, Saipan, Tainan are important launching platforms because they have to be able to reach Japan. That's the B-29. It has the range. Hap Arnold is the B-29. I learned from you it's more expensive to design and build and roll out the B-29 than the atomic bomb. Everything right. was on Hap Arnold. He's in competition with the Navy and the Army. How's he doing on in Thanksgiving 44? How's that contest going, James?
Well, like, I can even just say this. He had three heart attacks up during those first few years of the war. And that's indicative of the amount of stress that was on Arnold. Arnold was kind of like the forgotten stepchild at the dinner table when you got the Joint Chiefs of Staff together. Because, you know, the Army was largely dominating the war in Europe. And so the Navy very much viewed the Pacific as their theater. And here you had Arnold, who was operating as an auxiliary of the Army, sort of trying to elbow for scraps there in order to demonstrate that the power of his service. And he was absolutely hell-bent that the Air Force should be an independent service separate of the Army. And in order to make that case, he own a share of victory alongside the Army and the Navy. And so he, I mean, the pressure on him to be able to demonstrate that was tremendous. And as I noted earlier, the air war in Europe had turned out to be this incredibly long battle with even the combined forces of the British and the Americans still weren't able to quite break the Germans. The war goes on and on. Eventually, troops have to invade. And so he views the war against Japan, Arnold does, as a blank canvas on which he can paint the awesome power of his Air Force. But he's up against these big personalities, and it's a territorial fight. And so that Arnold's having to engage. And again, all of that leads to multiple heart attacks, multiple stress, and all of that pressure trickles down from Arnold onto Hansel, who is out there in the Mariana Islands, having to figure out how to put this new weapon in combat against the Japanese.
We're going to launch the early raids by the B-29 against Japan's ability to make war. Black Snow is the book. Curtis LeMay, The Firebombing of Tokyo, and The Road to the Atomic Bomb. James M. Scott. James Scott is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.